Senate Resources Committee order. We have let the record show that we have Senator Sergelewski, Senator Lassen, Senator Jones, and Chairman Senator Coghill. Today's meeting, in your packet, you folks all received a copy of the Borax resolution, which is this resolution. All I want to do is ask the approval of the Resources Committee for sponsorship. Also, the staff has handed out a copy of the resolution, the letter of the governor's appointees, and if anyone has any objection to that letter, if not, we'll send it to the Senate. It's not gone to the Senate secretary. We did have the one that had objections to it, and I circulated that for everybody's signature. Here, you want to look at?
No, I was just looking for a copy of the letter for the nominee.
First up, senators, we have two resolutions that are exactly the same. We have resolution number 29 and Senate concurrent resolution 29 and Senate resolution 44. And they both relate to the quality water. Senate concurrent resolution is the one that goes to the Department of Environmental Conservation to Mr. Denny Kelso, and what it basically does is that it asks them to report back. Be it resolved, the Alaska legislature respectfully requests the governor to direct the Attorney General of Alaska to propose procedures under which the legislative committee hearing on legislation to change the water quality criteria in Alaska would qualify under the public participation criteria required under the federal regulations at 40 CFR section 131-20 subsection B and report these procedures to the Resources Committee of the Legislature by November 1 of 1987. Further resolve, we request that the Governor to direct the Commissioner of Environmental Conservation to submit an outline of procedure that is necessary for the Department of Environmental Conservation to submit to the Environmental Protection Agency a revised water quality plan with a turbidity standard that affects water only where drinking water enters the distribution system, and report this outline to the Resources Committee by November 1. The reason why I put November 1 on both of these is so that that would give us a chance to be able to review both of the proposals. And the Senate concurrent resolution is an outcrop of the frustrations that we got into with Senate Bill 98. Where's our sign-up sheet? Do we have anybody that wishes to sign up on?
Mr. Chairman?
Senators?
You're going to have some testimony.
There might be some testimony. I'm not sure.
Oh, wait. 29, is that the one?
We're on Senate Concurrent Resolution 29, which is the one that directs us to the state agencies, and the other one is exactly the same resolution and directs it to the federal agencies. All right.
This is the Clean Water Bill, right?
Yes, sir. It's always clean. The water bill is always clean water. But, we have Phil Holdsworth from Juneau, and then we have Bruce Baker, and then we have Amy Collins. Phil, welcome to. You want to testify on Senate Concurrent Resolution 29.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth, and speaking for the Alaska Miners Association. And the association is strongly in support of this letter. What it in effect does, it confirms the memorandum that was sent to the three resource agencies to develop this very thing that you're requesting here, and they have met and have agreed upon an answer back by the 1st of November, so your resolution ties very closely to that, and you have specifically confined it to what you have in your other resolution to what can be done under the Federal Clean Water Act. You've got to find out for sure what can be done under that legally. Very much in support of the bill.
Is there any questions of Mr. Holdsworth? If not, thank you, Bill. We have Bruce Baker from Fish and Game.
Mr. Chairman, if I could follow Ms. Amy Kyle of Department of Environmental Conservation.
Amy Kyle.
Thank you.
Amy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name for the record is Amy Kyle. I'm the Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Environmental Conservation. We appreciate the chance to continue discussing these issues with this committee. Commissioner Kelso has appeared here before and discussed some of the other legislation and other things that we've been working on. I thought I might take just a moment to report to you on some of the work that we've done to date. Our consultant on the Clean Water Act has met with the Alaska Miners Association people up in Anchorage yesterday, and some of the other industry groups were there as well to talk about the issues associated with the water quality standards and the Clean Water Act. The Loggers Association, as well as the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, participated with us in that meeting. They talked about several things. I think that one key theme that the group addressed was the importance of looking toward solutions that are likely to be successful and that are truly going to lead us to a stable resolution on this issue. They looked at the potential for reclassifying clusters of streams in areas where that would make sense. They talked about the importance of the effluent guidelines proposal that EPA has out for review right now, and I thought you might also be interested to know that EPA has granted the states and the Miners Association request for an extension on the comment period on the effluent guidelines. They looked at some of the alternatives that are available to work on the water quality standards themselves. And as I mentioned before, the group spent quite a bit of time talking about what will be the most productive use of all of our efforts in working on this issue. When we looked at this resolution, we looked at it in light of what we've previously told this committee we intend to do and how we think that the process that's outlined here would affect the process that we've undertaken. And we've also looked at it with regard to how it would affect our ability to achieve our goals here, and I have some comments in that regard. The resolution would ask the governor to do a couple of things. First of all, it would ask the governor to direct the Department of Law and the Department of Environmental Conservation to take certain steps to address the proposal by the legislature to repeal parts of the turbidity standard. In the Department of Law portion, the resolution would ask the Attorney General to look at whether an administrative proceeding that would be conducted under the APA, under state law, as well as under state regulation, could be essentially replaced by a proceeding in front of a legislative committee. The Department of Law is looking at that. I don't know that they're ready to testify right now, but we have some concerns in that regard with the separation of powers, in that both the Administrative Procedures Act as well as the federal regulations specify actions that the executive branch should take, and it's somewhat unclear to us how those actions could be taken by a legislative committee. So we have some concerns in that regard. The reference actually in the statute describes one portion of the public participation regulations under the federal regulations, but it certainly doesn't encompass the scope of administrative procedures that would need to be followed here, and it doesn't address the technical analysis that would need to be done in order to propose a change of this magnitude. In the portion of the resolution that pertains to DEC, basically what the governor would be asked to do is to direct the agency to prepare a plan to come up with a limited turbidity standard to address drinking water in certain instances. We have two concerns about that. One is, as we've discussed here before, the turbidity standard plays a role in protecting fishery resources. And the resolution, as it's before you now, would take the position that essentially it's not necessary to have a turbidity standard or an equivalent standard to protect fishery resources. It would simply focus on protection of drinking water at places where drinking water sources are drawn. And we feel that that is a policy position that would not, in our thinking, be in the state's best interest. So that's one concern that we have. I believe the Department of Fish and Game will speak to you in more detail about the relationship between turbidity and fishery resources. There also are some concerns for the relationship between turbidity and recreation, in that high turbidity levels can have an effect on recreational uses as well. So this would, the resolution would narrow the department's efforts very considerably toward looking at only one of the uses that a turbidity standard is intended to protect, and our view would be that that is not, would not be in the best interest of the state to take that position. Our second concern is that we have embarked upon, in good faith, really, a thorough look at the flexibility available to us under the Clean Water Act. And as I say, our consultant was here yesterday. He has met with the Miners Association. He's available this afternoon. If you all would like to meet with him as well, he could come down and discuss these issues with you. He's up talking to Senator Fahrenkamp right now. And it seems to us that it is better to let that process take its course and do the analysis that we have said that we would do in order to reach a conclusion, rather than to, at this early point in time, prejudge what that conclusion would be. We are moving ahead. We think that we are making some progress, and we would hope that we would have the chance to continue with that process. So, to summarize, our three major concerns are that the portion of the resolution that deals with the Department of Law would appear to bring things into a legislative arena that properly belong in an executive arena. Secondly, that it would make a policy decision on uses affected by turbidity levels that would seem to us to be inappropriate. And thirdly, that it would prejudge the process that we are now in the midst of. I also have some comments on the whereas clauses of the resolution that I'll present to you just briefly. In the first whereas clause, the description of the Clean Water Act basically describes it as protecting the water from degradation by chemical pollutants and industrial water users. I think that's a very narrow statement of what the Act was intended to do. Its goal was to restore and maintain the quality of the nation's waters, and it addresses non-point sources in addition to what might be considered a traditional industrial discharge. So that's a point that we wanted to point out to you. In the second whereas clause, we do not believe that the turbidity standard has been interpreted in such a way as to interfere with reasonable economic opportunities in the state. So that would be a point we would make there. And on the third whereas clause, again, this raises the question of the importance of the turbidity standard to address uses in addition to drinking water. And the statement in the third whereas clause would neglect the importance of maintaining low levels of solids in water to protect fisheries resources as well as recreation. We had more of a question than a comment about the seventh whereas clause. It indicates that this is the first full clause on the second page, by my numbering anyway. It indicates that water bodies don't meet the criterion for drinking water. Actually, the criterion for drinking water is above any natural conditions, and so water bodies in their natural state, by definition, meet the drinking water criterion. So I'm not quite sure what the intention is here. Our criteria specifies a level above background for drinking water, and so, again, I'm not quite sure what the intent is there. And I've already commented to you on the resolve clauses, which are obviously the crux of this resolution. So that concludes my testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lassen.
What part of the resolution do you support?
I guess I would say at this point in time, we do not support this resolution. We think that we are embarked upon a process that is addressing the issues that we've discussed with this committee before. We do want to continue to work with the committee on those issues, and it seems to us that that a resolution such as this limits the policy choices and the procedural choices available to us at a time when we're not, at least in our view, quite ready to do that. Though, as I said at the outset, we certainly do want to continue to work with the committee as well as the mining community on the issues that they have raised as we have discussed these various pieces of legislation.
Chairman, I just might comment that she specifically talked about some of the interests that some of the concerns I might have had for the resolution. And, thank you.
Well, Amy, I have a problem with it. We spent a whole day. We had both the EPA and the DEC at the table. When we got done with that meeting, I was totally frustrated in where we were going, because none of the bureaucracy in any of the EPA or the DEC people want the legislature to even look at any of the standards of water. And the thing is that what we're doing here is we're asking for you to come in with some standards. We're not directing. There's no way that these have any infringement on the executive power, because we're saying the Alaska legislature respectfully requests the governor. That's our position, is to request the governor to direct his agency to do something for us in a time limit so that we can have something to work on. We're going to do something about the water standard, because you are, in fact, closing down most of the mineral extraction programs in the state. And we have something broke out there, and we're going to fix it. Now, if we have to go into the EPA, directly into the EPA law, as long as I'm in the legislature, we're going to try and solve this problem, because we're not going to let those people just have to go away because we've got some excessive standards out there that people can't live with. And this country's been going on for years before you and I were even around. And the thing is that we when we get to the fishing game and Bruce comes up, we'll talk about that. But the thing is that what we're doing here is we're asking for a time certain, November 1, so that it gives us time, gives me time to get it to the rest of the committee so that they will have some hard fact stuff to work on. Now, the agency is telling us that they don't want us to even involve the legislative process in evaluating any of this information you're getting. And we don't have a time limit, and that's basically what this resolution is all about. And 44, Senate Joint Resolution 44, is directing the federal Department of Environmental to do the same thing, so that we have something before us, because we're going to address it. I told the agencies that I would hold Senate Bill 98, that I would be bringing forth resolutions, and at that time it was my understanding that that was fine. Now you're coming before us and you're saying, don't even mess with them. You don't want anything to do with this. And I kind of resent the attitude that the agency is taking towards this whole water standard structure. And that's the chairman's position, and we're in the resolution on 44 addresses the congressional delegation, asking them to direct a standard that's conducive to the water use within the state of Alaska. And I guess I just had to say that, because everything that we've tried to do on water, DEC is against. And I guess that's one of the frustrations that we in the private sector have with that whole department. Is there any other questions?
Well,
Might I respond, Mr. Chairman, for just a moment?
Yeah. Really frustrating. Go ahead.
I certainly did not mean to give the impression at all that we weren't interested in working with this committee, because certainly we are. And we really tried to incorporate the issues that have been raised in this forum in the work that we're doing with the Alaska Miners Association particularly. And we'd be very happy to involve the committee in those discussions and deliberations, really in whatever way that you would choose. So I certainly didn't mean my remarks in any way to be construed as saying that we didn't want to work with you all, because that is definitely not our position, and it's not our intent at all. In fact, as I said before, our consultant is in the building this afternoon, and I know he would be pleased to come down and tell you a little bit about how his meeting went yesterday and what he sees as ways that this could go even today, if that would be of interest to you all. With regard to the resolution, the portions of it that we are concerned about are the portions that provide a conclusion that seemed to us to be premature. And perhaps I'm reading it incorrectly, but as I read it, it appears to me that it does ask us to look at a substantial limiting of when we could apply a turbidity criterion, and also it does appear to us that it would provide a result at this time to a process that is still proceeding. So it's only those aspects of the direction here that we would have a concern about. I didn't speak at all to the second resolution, to the congressional delegation. And as I say, we really and sincerely do want to continue to work with this committee, and we'd be happy to interact with you in whatever forum you deem appropriate.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gillespie.
We have information in the pack dated March 30th from the governor to the commissioners of natural resources, fish and game, and environmental conservation. In that, he talks about having assigned a high priority, working with the miners, working with the users, setting out some of the problems exist. Do you intend to carry that out?
Mr. Chairman, if I might. Yes, the governor has made his direction on this point very clear and has established deadlines both for completing our review of our regulations as well as our work with the Alaska Miners Association. And yes, certainly we have every intention of complying with the governor's directive to us.
Mr. Chairman, I feel the departments are, in fact, going to work in this area. I guess I have to lay out some concerns that I have, somewhat similar to Ms. Kyle. I think there are fishing values and there are recreation values. I realize the problem the miners have had, and they need resolution, mm-hmm. and it means working together. But I see some... You know, I happen to be persuaded that turbidity does affect other than drinking water. And yet I also believe that there are streams that need to be reclassified. I think it goes far too far. And I do believe that there are areas of best use would be for mining. And so that's, you know, but I also believe there are solutions out there if we work together. But I cannot, limit it just to drinking water, Mr. Chairman, because I think those other things are important too. So I think they are moving ahead.
Senator, that's what we tried to address in the bill, and the bill was totally unacceptable.
No,
the bill was totally unacceptable from the standpoint that we were getting into the separation of powers, so we took a different tact on it. And the tact that we're taking is that we're asking them to report back to this committee. And if we haven't got the wisdom to be able to sort out those things, these are just some of the issues that I'm asking for, because if DEC, and I guess this is the bottom line to it, if the bureaucracy does not respond, then we're in a position to have some factual information before our committee so that we can make some factual decisions on the one effort, and that was the effort on the drinking water and the turbidity standard, which is only one part of it.
Mr. Chairman, I concur that we need to hold the administration's feet to the fire. But I do not think we can separate into just one segment and say that's all we want to have a report on. I want to have a report on the effect of fish, of recreational values, and of mining and other kinds of economic development that might take place in those streams. And if we don't do it, I think we're going to have a flawed study, and then we're not going to be able to serve the constituency that I want to serve, which are the miners and the other users of the water. I just don't think you can narrow it and expect to get any results that will mean anything. So that would be my concern with the resolution.
Is there any other questions of Amy? Thank you very much. Senator Sergiulisi, do you say that we ought to have a couple more whereases in it to broaden the structure of the resolution? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, I think we need to respond to the various uses out there, and I think that would be possible to do and to accomplish what you want. But I really think we're not going to get the product you really want. But
what I was trying to do is to narrow it down because of the time limit, Senator, just having, 6 months to do it. Well, I figured that if we loaded the wagon down too far, we'd get it mired down. Senator Malasky.
Chairman, I think the letter that the governor had written to the commissioners is very directed to them. It's probably much stronger than our resolution. It says, in effect, I direct you as commissioners of the state's three resource agencies to work together to complete the following tasks before the 1988 mining season. He lists 7 different tasks. He's taken them to task to do this. Now, I would suspect there would be some effort before the next mining season to resolve this problem in a way that is compatible to all the users. And for us to, I think it's highly inappropriate for us to ask the Attorney General to do our work for us when we have our own legal agency. I think that was a very good point that she made, that that's the governor's people. We have our own legal people, and if you chose to use them to pursue this in any manner you care to do, I think that would be fine. However, I don't think it's proper for us to direct this Attorney General to do our groundwork for us, because then it's always under suspect anyway. No matter what kind of opinion you get, are you sure you're going to use it? So, those are the types of things that I think is probably getting just a little bit. I personally would prefer to see what they have done in the interim. And this letter is strong. The governor says, do this, and I want some answers by this date, and they better damn well do it. And if they don't do it, you'll be here to harass them next January.
No, that's the 88 mining season, Senator, is not this summer, it's the next summer. The thing is that we won't have the legislative process. It looks like the committee is not going to be in favor of it. I listened to meeting that we had when we had DEC and EPA there, and we were told then, Senator, that we had no business getting involved in their procedures. That was an executive function in making those rules, and that's why I'm asking them here. Number one is to do the procedures, do the rules procedures. And number two is that we're asking the DEC to submit an outline of the procedures that are necessary for the Department of Environment to submit to revise the water quality plan with the turbidity staff. I guess maybe I'm on the wrong wavelength with my committee, but I'm going to come back and try it again, because we have one more term in this. If we don't do it in this interim before the next legislative process, we'll be back at the table and we'll have the same run around the barn which we had when we spent a whole day listening to DEC and EPA and the Fish and Game do their thing on the water.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Sturgeon.
Right. Believe it or not, I happen to concur with where you want to go, which is finding some answers. I would be happy to work with my competent staff and your competent staff and you and I think there is a way that we can do a little bit of work with this to bring in the broader part of it, get some timelines from them as to when they'll bring you information so that you, as chairman of this committee, can do the staff work you want, so that you will have a product when we come back here in January and we can address it early on in the session. In other words, what you're saying is desirable. I just think that we're not perhaps hitting it the way that we're going to get the effect we want. If the governor doesn't want to do that, I mean, if he would narrow down to just do this part, I don't think we'd get the answer that we want. So all I'm saying is I think there's a way to change some wording here and get to where you want to go.
Well, it is my intention to find an avenue somewhere or other to hold the government structure's feet to the fire to get the problem resolved. And if it's the pleasure of the committee, there's no sense in wasting the rest of the time of the committee's time on both of these bills. Is then maybe what we ought to do is that on this particular bill, I'd be more than happy to hold it until the next until Monday, and over that time while we can get the staff together and we can do that if it's necessary. Maybe what we need is to have a subcommittee to work with the department during the interim to make sure that those things are happening that the governor is proposing here, so that we don't come back in January and find that after the pressure that we're putting on from this committee, they put it on the back burner and nothing happens until we come back, until we start putting the pressure on again. And that's my position, and the thing is that I'm adamant about it.
I concur with the subcommittee to work with the department and make sure those things are happening. I think that might be the best approach.
Mr. Chairman, I think that, you know, it might be just a little unfair to stamp this new administration with problems we've had with the past administration. We have new people in new areas, got new commissioners, we got a new thrust, and I would, you know, be very reluctant to condemn them before they had a chance to solve the damn problem.
I'm not trying to condemn them, Senator.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the governor can say, but think what he said in this letter. It's very clear and obvious to at least this senator that he means business.
Well, we have one other person, Bruce Baker, to testify, and Bruce, come on up, and we've got to see you're signed up for both 29 and 44.
Mr. Chairman, I can keep my remarks very brief, and I'd just like to address two things. One is to try to help the committee envision what turbidity really looks like. I know there was a lot of discussion at previous hearings, and so this time I brought along some photographs that might help you relate to that. They're labeled on the back. The second thing I'd like to underscore, and I believe we brought it out before, is that we have conducted a review of all the available literature, and it was regarding turbidity and its relationship to fish habitat, and we've prepared that in the form of a technical report that I'd be glad to leave with the committee. I understand that the published version of this that was submitted to a scientific fisheries journal is on the street this week, and I'm trying to get a copy of that for you. Basically, in the executive summary, you'll find six conclusions. One is that turbidity, in addition to being a measure of water quality, really is a condition that can reduce or extinguish the light that's available in lakes and streams. Secondly, that in turn can reduce the primary production. By that, we are referring to plant life in lakes and streams. It can also, thirdly, reduce or result in the loss of secondary production. This consists of plankton and aquatic insect life. And these are progressive, we can realize a reduction or loss of fish productivity in lakes or streams, and that in turn can reduce recreational fishing, and it can also reduce the efficiency of various fishery management techniques, counting fish as they come upstream to measure escapement. With respect to primary productivity, I would just underscore the point we made earlier, and that is that in a foot and a half of clear water, a shallow stream, 5 NTUs can result in a 13% reduction in that primary plant productivity. a level of 25 NTUs compared to previously clear water can result in a 50% reduction in that primary productivity and a commensurate reduction in fish productivity. So with that, I'll just answer a question. If not, I'll turn it over to somebody else.
Is there any questions of Bruce? Not, is Bruce, before you leave, is it your position that your department is totally opposed to concurrent resolution 29?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I thought I'd keep my comments focused and defer
just on providity.
You defer the comments on the actual resolutions to Amy. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no objection to the committee, then we'll hold SCR, Senate Concurrent Resolution 29, until Monday. Do we have Senate Joint Resolution number 44, which primarily says the same thing, only it refers it to the Alaska Legislature. The members of the Alaska delegation in Congress were requested to seek legislation or regulation change that would alter or waive each requirement of the law that precludes the state from applying water quality standards to state waters that reflect the actual use of water and makes a turbidity criterion a necessary part of the state's water quality plans under Section 303C of the Clean Water Act. And we have three people on this one. Phil Holdsworth. Phil, do you want to talk on this or on this resolution? This is, like I say, the outcrop of our joint meeting with DEC and EPA.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Miners Association has been, of course, members of the association have been meeting and jointly with the DEC and Fish and Game and EPA, and they are progressing under the direction by the governor, and so they are taking part in this. This Senate Joint Resolution number 44 has a different approach than the previous one. What this would do would ask the congressional delegation which to do certain things which they really might not be able to do until the report of this committee gets together and decides what can be done legally and what can't be done without changes by the Congress. And of course I request to do that on a follow-up from the information provided by these joint meetings, I think would be very helpful.
Any questions of Mr.
I guess the question is, you suggest that this is a little premature until we identify where the changes could be made.
Well, it may be in that regard. It might be really, our congressional delegation would have to have some direction. Some decision has to be made as to what can be done under present provisions of the Clean Water Act. And then if things that are needed to be done as far as site-specific situations in Alaska are concerned, that would have to require some changes, then the congressional delegation would be requested to work on that. See what changes can be made on the federal level.
Are there any questions? Amy, do you wish to say the same thing on this one? Department's opposed to it?
I'll just comment very briefly. The department, this does not directly affect us in that. You know, you're not asking us to do anything, so we don't have a position on this formally. I guess I would echo Mr. Holdsworth's comments generally in that just as a perhaps informed observer of this process, it would seem that one might have a clearer idea of whether any federal changes are needed and what they might be in a few months than we have now. But for the record, we have no formal position on this one way or the other. Thank you.
Is there anybody else that wishes to you want to hold this one too with the other one? Okay. We'll go on to the next bill. We have a bill before us establishing the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Policy Council. Do we have any sign-up sheets on it? We have Mr. Phil Holdsworth. We open the
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the table, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I signed up to speak only for myself and not for my usual clients on this one. But I think it's quite clear that the general public constituency out here really is not sure what the state's position is on animal. And I think the formation of such a policy council would be very helpful to get all the actors together and come up with a unified position. I think it's very important.
We've tried to put all the actors in one bundle.
Right.
Is there any questions of Mr. Holdsworth? Is there anyone else that would like to testify on Senate Bill 289? If not, what's the pleasure of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, just a question for you, if I may, before action. You do not include in here that the President of the Senate or the Speaker of the House would be appointing a member from those chambers, and it just seemed to me that, I mean, that could be anybody out there, and it would seem to me that, again, depending on your intent, it might be wise to point that it would be a member of the body. Was that your intent?
My intent was to let it, let the commissioner, or I mean the governor, the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House, pick their whoever they chose. Whoever that be, and I would imagine that probably it would be somebody from the administration and probably somebody from the Senate, yes. But I didn't restrict it down to a member of the body.
I don't know how the others feel. I'd like to see at least a couple of senators and a couple of representatives on it. And then the other, there's a technical thing. There's a redundancy on line 17. Ad hoc really is special or, you know, single purpose, or, you know. Group. Special ad hoc is the special redundant. But I don't know. If nobody feels strongly, I don't want to move on it, but I'd frankly like to see two senators and two representatives.
I guess maybe we must have some bad drafters over there that were paying lots of money, but we just sent it over and that
there's
a lot of it. I mean, if you want to amend it to ad hoc out,
No, ad hoc is right, but either one or the other doesn't, you know, no big deal.
But what do you want to do? You want to bend that out with a special? Good. Do it? Is there any objection? We do delete special on line 17.
No, we couldn't achieve a consensus on the floor of the Senate. You expect the governor to get a consensus?
It would be an ad hoc, then, wouldn't it? It would be not a. It would be an ad hoc, then. It would not be an a.
An ad hoc. Sounds good. Mr. Chairman, apparently it's not particular interest to see that there are the two House and Senate, so I would just move the bill with the individual recommendations and ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? No objection. It's so ordered. So Senate Bill 289 moved from the committee with individual recommendations. Did we get our bill yet?
Yes, we did.
Hmm? Okay, our next bill will be half up. It just sends it, I mean, we don't have to take that.
Mr. Chairman, would you like the motion to adopt this committee substitute to the purchase of course?
Yes.
I would move for the adoption for consideration, case substitute 23 resources dated 5/7/87 by Bradley. Ask unanimous consent.
Is there any objection? No objection, it's so ordered. And so we have before you CS for committee substitute for Senate Bill 23, resources 5/7. The 5/5 one had two lines missing in the draft. What we do here is we take out all relationship to the fee title, and we just do this on lifting so that the department can change the management plan for the people that are on the land. Doesn't have anything to do now with the major objections it had, which was the fee title. And that's what the committee substitute does.
Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
Is there anybody that wishes to be heard on this? If not, Senator Strickler.
Mr. Chairman, I know the other issue will be back before us, but I'm delighted to see this go forward at this time. I think, you know.
Best part of valor.
I understand. I think it's excellent. I would move the bill from the committee of committee substitute for 23 resources, individual signatures, and unanimous consent.
Ask unanimous consent. Any objections? No objections. So, May 7th, Senate Bill 23, resources, David 5/7, passed from the committee with individual recommendation. Committee substitute for House Bill 54 Hess, which is the earthquake and volcano hazardous project. You have in your packet the letter of intent. It is the intent of the House Health and Education Social Services that the request be made for federal monies for this project. We have Merritt Helfrich, who is from the Geophysical Institute in Fairbanks, wishes to testify.
He's coming. I'll do the first one.
And you? You first?
Yeah.
All right. And you're... Would you please... Yeah. Come forward then, sir.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to our table, sir. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Shun Akasofu, the director of the Geophysical Institute, University of Alaska Fairbanks. As a director, I have a very high goal as a Geophysical Institute, the obligation. I am very much interested in establishing top-rate earthquake volcano monitoring the project. It so happened that last year the DGGS transferred the whole seismic activity to the Geophysical Institute. Because of this, we have already started our own work. Number one, we have now installed a very high-tech seismic recording system, which I understand is top in the nation. state microwave people are helping us to bring all the seismic record to the Geophysical Institute from many places in Alaska now. The National Science Foundation has already funded us some seismic work. At the same time, the Senator Stevens and both Senator Stevens, Senator Murkowski, working very hard in the Washington to try to come up with an appropriation to the USGS, the about $1 million, so that earmarked to Alaskan work. And this is going on, and it has been it's a very difficult work, and but the both senators asked me to make sure that their federal effort would not reduce the state effort. And it's, to me, it's very, very important that the state of Alaska show their interest on seismic work by passing this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there any questions to the doctor?
Just a question, yes. Doctor, if I may.
Yes.
You know, I'm fascinated at how rapidly earthquake and volcano research is proceeding. Hmm. We're getting a lot of information. Can you up in Fairbanks figure out what's happening to me down in Anchorage? I mean, what's the radius of the equipment that you have and your ability to monitor,
okay,
St. Augustine Island? I just
don't know. We have about 60 seismometers all around Alaska. Their data are brought into Fairbanks Geophysical Institute by microwave systems. We have many, many recording systems on St. Augustine. Just like you're listening, you know, your heartbeat, the mountain's instrument, we can see what's going on every day. It's a real-time basis now.
How are we now? Are we in a period of high activity or low? I remember, you know, back preceding the 64, they talked about the level increased.
The earthquake,
mm-hmm,
in general in Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
Let me put this way, that The funding has been so up and down in the past. We have some recording gaps. The only way that, as far as the eruption is concerned, the volcanology has developed to the point that so long as we instrument each volcano well, we can predict the eruption with a very high accuracy within a day. We did this last spring for St. Augustine. For the earthquakes, it's very much more difficult. The only way we can predict at this time is to learn the characteristics of earthquake in each area. In other words, California earthquake, prediction would not tell us anything about Anchorage earthquake. We have to record continuously some seismic activity, and we try to learn the characteristics. And hopefully from that, we could do a better prediction. So we are at the stage of accumulating a record, extended continuous record. We are ready to do it with a brand new computer recording system.
Well, I just think it's such an excellent thing that Alaska could develop real fine expertise, and I know you bring that.
Thank you very much.
Worldwide, yes. We should. We've got the conditions to study it.
Yes.
And the people.
Yes.
Too.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Senator.
Too bad we can't do something about it.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else monitoring? Do the feds have a presence in
the
this
USGS,
research?
U.S. Geological Survey, is supposed to, of course, monitor earthquake in the entire United States. However, they have a very limited funds too. So Alaska kind of become secondary. Their instrument rather heavily around King William Sound area, not in Kodiak or some other places. Their main interest, they think that something very important might happen at King William Sound area.
Prince William and Down Rock, Cordova?
Yes, that's the area only.
Is that where they are then?
Yes.
They're not monitoring a volcano at all?
No.
This is...
It is our responsibility now. And,
right.
Are they contributing to the funding of this monitoring process?
Yes. The two senators are trying to get a special appropriation for Alaska volcano earthquake monitoring. Will be about $1 million earmarks for Alaskan study. That will be divided in 50-50. And we have already worked very, very hard to how to share the task. So, you know, there is no reason that we put the seismometers, the Geophysical Institute seismometer and the USGS seismometer in the same place. We try to spread, and we are working very well.
How many people you have working on this project?
The Geophysical Institute has six staff, faculty members working on this.
On the Mount St. Augustine project?
The volcano, we have three.
In addition to the six?
No, they are joint.
12, okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
But we're going to get a new person in a couple of months. We are very anxious to make our institute, you know, really good and the excellence in this particular area. Yes?
Doctor, I was wondering, why do we have to be the forefront of seismic studies? Why can't we be just of a normal type?
Okay, let me tell you this. The better, you know, our group is, the more accurate the prediction is.
Well, I know. I don't understand why we have to be the biggest and the best at everything. We only got so much money to go around. I don't know why we can't be just get the job done without being the tops in the world. I'd be satisfied.
Well, the best in the nation doesn't mean lots of money, though. I'm not asking any great money here. This is the passage of this particular bill to show the state of Alaska is interested in the seismic work. The one of the difficulties in predicting earthquake is that, however, you know, how much you run in Los Angeles area won't give us very much information on earthquake in Alaska. It's an entirely different kind of earthquake. In California, as you know, the San Andreas Fault, land mass is moving this way. Alaska is going this way. So we don't run anything from Alaska, the California earthquake. So we have to do our own.
Well, I don't want to become one of these programs that gets out of hand like we've seen so many do. So I understand the importance of it. I've been in Anchorage. Just left here about 2 weeks before 1964.
Lloyd, just make a comment, and I understand what you mean. You don't want a Cadillac. You want something that produces. But I think there's a very special role for the kind of research that not only can certainly help Alaska, but also cold weather country. Just one example. We spent about $150 million for studies on Susitna. Well, one of the big things that was never really answered, and among many of my friends who were technicians and engineers and so on, there was always a big debate about the earthquake fault that runs through that area. And, I mean, there are very practical considerations, certainly to fishing industries, to a whole lot of different things in terms of results of volcanoes, results of earthquakes and all the rest. I don't know. I think we ought to do something and do it well.
If we can afford it, that's fine.
Yeah, so we're not asking any great...
It scares me when I see something that says we're going to be the top, you know, for the forefront.
We are asking for only 131.
I'd rather study the fish.
Plus.
Things like that. Oh, thank you, Doctor.
Yes. Thank you, Doctor. Shall we... any other questions of Dr. Merrill? Merritt, do you have anything that you wish to add to it?
Yes.
My name is Merritt Helfrich. I'm the Assistant Director of the Geophysical Institute, and I might be able to clear up a little bit of confusion which has arisen here, and the reason for this bill. The DGGS and the Department of Natural Resources was charged by law and present statute with carrying out seismic studies in the state of Alaska. They have been doing this for a number of years. They had a person, a seismologist in the department, and they were passing the money through DGGS to the Geophysical Institute to do certain work. This program, when it was first initiated, was at $540,000. It is presently at $131,000. So the program is going entirely the opposite direction from your concern. In addition, with the problems that DGGS encountered in reducing budgets, the seismologist was bumped in his position, and there was no one competent to do seismic work within DGGS anymore, and we hired on that seismologist to join our seismology group. We've been doing this program of seismology for some years, we did part of the monitoring program for DGGS with the money they passed through us, and part of it was done from money that we received from the federal government. Dr. Akasofu, in describing becoming very good at this, was describing our effort to actually provide a significant level of seismic monitoring and interpretation work so that we can actually make determinations adequate within the state of Alaska to determine seismic hazard zones with some accuracy. At the present time, building standards within the state are determined on what seismic hazard zone the building, the area lies in. If you're in one zone that is of low seismic hazard, the construction standards are not as stringent as those for an area that where the construction standards are high. It can make a considerable financial difference to a person building a building, a public building or even other buildings, in the determination of what the zone is. There are buildings within certain areas of the state at the moment where it is obvious to us that the zone is ill-labeled and people are building either to too little or too high a standard. That costs a lot of money to people. So it's important to have enough information over a long period of time to find out what kind of zone we're in statistically. When there are dropouts in data because we can't run a station anymore, because we don't have the money to do it, we no longer can put up a really statistical evidence that says, okay, in so many years we'll have this kind of size earthquake. Okay, with the reduction in money available to DGS, the program essentially moved to the Geophysical Institute at $131,000 level, and from what it had been earlier, we are now at the point where it is extremely difficult to operate the program, but given the responsibility to do it, we feel, and Copenhagen and Davis felt, that it was appropriate to change the responsibility from DGGS, who could not carry out the program, to the university, who is doing the work and has been doing the work, because there's no one within DGGS at the moment to do the work. So that's the reason for moving this program and for this legislation.
Senator Jones.
You know, it just seems strange that we had one of the largest earthquakes on the West Coast in modern history in 1964 in Anchorage, and people built right back in the same fault again. You know, it doesn't make sense that we study these things. We know where the fault is. We know what's going to happen eventually, and we still people build there. So what's the good of studying this thing and telling them? They don't seem to pay attention anyway.
I would agree with you, and I raised a certain wonder in my own mind about that phenomena. However, it is possible in areas where there are large earthquakes to build to a standard which will protect life if you pay attention to what that is. I would no more build in the Turnagain Arm area than I would build in the bottom of the Chena River in Fairbanks. So it's or in a floodplain myself. So I understand that, sir. And I don't understand why people do it, except they do build houses on the slopes of Mount Etna. And people sometimes do that sort of thing.
Senator Sturgeluski.
No, I've just made the comment. You're absolutely right on that. But we do build to the seismic zone. We do have building codes, and we do have more stringent standards. And hopefully I'll save a few people next time around.
Senator Lassen.
I'm not quite sure why the state did require by statutes that we do this type of work. And evidently there's, in the past few years, been an effort for whatever reason to
discontinue that because the budget has been going down. DNR is now, was down to $56,000. No, down to 56.4, I believe, at one time. And so what we have, evidently, it was legislative mandate that they reduce their budget, DNR, in this particular area. So we reduced them down to 56.4. What now we're doing, we're transferring this program to the University of Alaska, and it's going to end up costing $230,000 next year. So we're pushing down here, and it's popping up over here, and it's costing more money. I guess that's what it bothers me. Obviously, there was a determination by the legislature to reduce the funding of that program, and we did. And it got to the point the university took it over, and now they're asking for $230,000 next year to continue it when, in effect, our effort at reduction doesn't seem to have accomplished anything. That sort of bothers me.
Senator,
it's like coming alive again.
Yeah. Senator, I read in here someplace where the federal money's involved in this. Our present level of funding is 115.7, about one-third of that amount that we consider sufficient to maintain an adequate seismic network in Alaska.
I may direct your attention to the letter to Representative Al Adams, the second page. It says there, you know, what has happened over recent years about the reduction of the state funding of the program. And last year evidently went down to 56.4. And now we see it coming alive in the university budget up to the tune of $230,000. So I just wonder what we're doing, you know. Well, if we're reducing government here and pumping it up over there, we're not doing a hell of a lot.
Do you wish to let the record show the representative Davis has joined us at the table? Welcome, sir. This is
Dr. Off the Sofa, I think.
Yes, may I ask what your question is?
You have to come up and sit there because of these things. We'll pick you up back there. Doctor?
Again. I believe that for us to do a really good job, it all cost about $600,000 to $700,000. So that's why we have gone to federal government to help us. So they are coming up with about $350,000 to $500,000. That is going on. So with this additional $200,000, I think we can do the job. The fact that when the state began this seismic work, it was about $500,000, and they're just cutting the budget. It became $50,000. This is completely inadequate. We cannot even have one seismologist with the money. And even if we have $50,000, we cannot pay. We can pay one person without any instrument. So, for us to take care of state of Alaska, the seismology volcanology work, Anchorage is surrounded by four active volcanoes, and we need something like $700,000. And the federal government is now coming up about $500,000. So what we are asking is about $250,000 to make it $750,000.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Sturgeon,
you know, there's a major thing that is finally starting to happen in this bloody state, and that is a couple of things. The Arctic Research Commission, which is federal legislation by our good Senator Murkowski, as well as I'm on the University of Alaska Board of Foundation, and we had a special study raised with private funds. Paul DeBoer, people went out, raised money to do a study of the research needs within the state. We're finally now, and there are pieces before the legislature, pulling together research in a whole host of areas, and there'll be a concentration on fishing in the Bering Sea. I only mention this because we have had the most fractured, costly system of getting research and data I've ever seen. We have done thousands and thousands of dollars on fishing, studies in the lower Yukon and Kuskokwim and to the westward, and we've never put that into a system. And it's about time this state, which has all of this capacity, started to pull this together. I think this is an exciting thing because we're pulling two programs where there wasn't resources enough, where we can pull federal money, private sources, and some state funds and do something with it. I think that to sit here and say that $200,000 is too much, it's basic research. That's a part of a university. We'll never have a university if we don't get some of these systems going. So, I don't know.
But Chairman, I'm not specifically critical about this particular program.
Yes.
I don't fault that because the fund, don't fault that. But nevertheless, I think our Senator Sergelisky is right that there is a tremendous amount of research going on and has happened in the University of Alaska, but none of it has came down to our level so we can use it.
They better start to get it.
Well, we've said that 20 years ago when I first came to legislature. We had what they call the Coast Commission, which we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars sending people to the North Slope studying eel grass, for crying out loud. And they write their paper and stick it on a shelf, and they come out, well, we have an additional publication to our resume, fine, but how do we translate that down to the people who live here in Juneau or live in Sitka or live in Anchorage can use it? We're spending a lot of money developing research for research and research so we can use it.
Yes, people are using.
I'm not talking about your particular, I'm talking about the general research.
I see, okay.
It's like
I'm not
a
terribly
like everything. It's a place that's not money in the water.
I see. As far as seismic is concerned, next 2 weeks there are meetings in Anchorage, some meetings in Anchorage on the geophysical hazard. Three of us faculty members will be there attending meetings where we are on this. So we have been, our information dissemination as far as the seismology, volcanology is concerned, I think it's pretty good.
I only hope that some of this information can be brought down to the level, can be utilized, and you're going to find out a much broader support for University of Alaska throughout the state rather than just the academic community.
I understand, yes. I understand.
Senator Jones, did you wish to vote?
Just a good one.
Representative Davis.
Okay. Well, I'm sort of reluctant to talk, and I don't know what's gone on before, and I don't want to go on the same turf, but did you talk, was there an example brought up about John Davies predicting the earth, volcanic expression explosion in Anchorage? Was that already discussed?
No, maybe then let me then tell.
No. Perhaps somebody else is going to talk.
I'm happy to do that. Very quickly,
Henry Cole's going to talk.
Yeah, either way. Would you like to do it? Or? Okay. We have been, of course, we instrumented St. Augustine, so we have been monitoring the volcano. And then we came to the conclusion that the volcano will erupt tomorrow, next day, about 12 o'clock, and we notified FAA, the Elmendorf Air Force Base, and the Elmendorf Air Force Base moved all the active aircraft to Fairbanks so that there was no disconnection on the defense. FAA was notified. So as far as the volcanology is concerned, we are working with the public sector very well. And they appreciate that. We have a number of letters of appreciation. And but I, in general, perhaps, your statement is correct, and as a director, I'd like to improve that situation. But as far as the seismology, volcanology is concerned, I think we are doing a reasonably well job. Of course, we'd like to improve.
Mr. Chairman, last example of utilization of the information you're receiving when you can do those types of things, the public's aware of what you're doing, but a large percentage of the things that are going on at universities and research, nobody knows a great deal about. And if we did, obviously there would be a lot more interest in the legislature.
Okay, I understand, yes. But I'll definitely try to improve.
Screw it out, I don't care.
Maybe.
Are you ready for motion?
No, we have one more person that wishes to.
Well, don't you want to move the bill?
Yes.
Let's move it.
Go.
Move it, all right. We'll move it and sit here and talk about it. Before you change your mind.
Move the Hess version, House Hess, and individual recommendations.
May substitute for House Bill 54 Hess?
Right.
With individual recommendations? Any objection? No objection. It's so ordered. And the committee substitute for House Bill 54 Hess is moving from the committee with individual recommendations. Ask to have consent.
No.
So ordered. Here we are. Let's go. We got two more to do.
We can't give them $300,000.
We have.
Kind of stable. Precious.
What was the bottom this year? They said.
Committee substitute for House Bill 59, Judiciary, which is an act relating to the recycling and reduction of litter and providing for effective date. We have the prime sponsor, Representative Davis, is here with us. Mike, we welcome you to the table. You can sit right there. I think you could pick you up.
Sorry, talking to the air. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the record. My name is Mike Davis, and I represent District 19. I want to first thank you for bringing this legislation before your committee. What we've done in this legislation, as says in your memo, I believe you have the memo from the state's litter reduction recycling program is due to sunset in June of 87. So what we've done is tried to draft this legislation that would address some of the concerns that people have of the fiscal impact of this legislation being on the books. So we eliminated some unnecessary functions of the program, the council, and also the publication section. What we've also done in this legislation is modify the law so that to change the fine from a misdemeanor to a violation. And the reason we did that is to reduce possible court costs. And we also put in a provision in this bill to allow for tickets to be written for violation of small infractions of people throwing a cup out the window or whatever. And the reason we've done that is, according to testimony we've got from police officers, there's a real reluctance to enforce the provisions of this law. And so by having an infraction, this would allow them to enforce the law. And we also still have on the books violations that someone has contributed significant amounts of litter on the highway. They still will be subject to a $1,000 fine and possible court action if so desired or if it's needed. And there is an elimination of the sunset provision. So that pretty well fleshes out all the provisions of this piece of legislation. I'd be glad to answer any questions. There is a zero fiscal amount.
Mike, why did you take out all of the sunset provisions so that there'd be no review?
Well,
instead of just extending them for another period so that the future legislators would have a chance to be able to require to come forward and review the legislation.
Well, some of the, no one's asked that question before, but some of the provisions here required the department to provide litter bags, and it required this advisory council, and it required an annual report. So really, by eliminating the sunset provision, all that really remains there is something the department said they're going to do anyway, which is to act as an advisory and as a adjunct to the local communities to help clean up litter. There's not, I wouldn't say we took the guts out of the bill, but a lot of the mandatory provisions of this piece of legislation have actually been removed. And what we've done in addition to that is changed the, as I said, from a misdemeanor, so nobody can go to jail now with the passage of this legislation. Now they can still be subjected to a $1,000 fine, but they can't go to jail for throwing a bag of trash out the car. So it's not a real serious issue, but I would hate to have our litter laws, our these provisions to be subjected to a sunset provision again. I don't think there's a necessary, it's necessary to have that.
Does anybody have any questions of Mr. Davis? Is there anybody on a sign-up sheet? Mike, could you see if there's a sign-up sheet outside?
Would you be inclined to support a bottle bill for this title?
I don't think the title is broad enough to do that.
That's why the title is...
they don't trust us, do they?
Oh, well, I remember that battle.
Amy, Kyle, if you want to come forward, we're going to try and move two more bills. What? Just one more besides this one.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
We have a vote that I need to get up to in finance.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Support the Senate.
In what?
Whatever. Amy?
If there is some questions that are in my system.
Thank you. I'll be very brief. What this bill would do is it would allow us to retain some penalties for littering. If this bill doesn't pass, the state has no more, it becomes essentially legal to litter. And the department very much wishes to retain its abilities to impose penalties for littering. We support Representative Davis's idea of writing tickets for littering because we think that it will allow enforcement to be a lot easier for the state as well as for DEC as well as the troopers. The bill, the state litter program was zeroed out in the budget last year, so we're not spending any money on most of the functions that were contemplated in the original litter legislation. What this bill would do is make, it would abolish some of those functions and it would make others optional for us. So in the event that the legislature chooses in the future to fund a more comprehensive litter program, the authority would exist. In the event that they do not, then we would continue simply to do enforcement in cases where we feel that we need to. So that's why we have a zero fiscal note on the bill. I believe that the fact that we're down to a very, very rudimentary program here without a lot of costs is also the reason for abolishing a sunset date, in that it didn't seem to be necessary to revisit this issue every few years, given the scope of the program under this legislation. So I'd just like to say the department strongly supports this. We still get many, many complaints about litter, and we would be very reluctant to lose our ability to respond to those, which would is what would occur if the bill does not pass. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Any of the senators have a question? Amy?
How many citations did you write last year?
Mr. Chairman, I've not broken them out by year. In the last 3 years, we've written about 250.
About 70 a year, 80 a year. That's not a great deal for the size of state, is it?
What?
No.
Is there any questions?
If I might, Mr. Chairman, if we had the option of writing a ticket under the provisions of this new bill, an enforcement action would be far easier to take, and it would not necessitate a court appearance for us or for any other citing officer.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
We're seriously contemplating turning us into a bottle bill. What do you think about that?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know that we've contemplated that question
as yet. I think you've got somebody's attention.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
This year, one of the neat things I did was to go to the Alaskans for Litter Prevention and Recycling banquet. And, you know.
They serve.
As a matter of fact, it was a marvelous meal. There was no litter on the table, so it was fitting. But just for Senator Jones, who had a little heartburn over earlier action, out of this came what I think is one of the neatest things. It's private sector, chambers around the state, really working, and of course they do their patting everybody on the back, but they picked up three
million pounds of litter were involved through the efforts of that, and a million of those pounds were the stores that shipped stuff outside for recycling. And they're paying for the program now through recycling. I mean, it's pretty modest, but and it's got can-do kids and all of this sort of stuff. So I just think this is great to have, but I'd like a bottle bill too, Rick.
Chairman, I think that DEC, of course, we were phasing the litter program out a couple of years ago in favor of other more important programs within DEC, fish inspection, or had some problems up in the Kenai, in those areas. So I guess the consensus of the Finance Committee and the Senate itself was to address those real important things and sort of let the state could take, you know, an active part in stimulating interest in cleaning up litter, but the state didn't have any purpose of paying people to pick up garbage somebody else's backyard. I mean, that's just a sort of like a private thing. You know, we can tell you have a problem if you have any pride in your community or your neighborhood, clean up your litter. You know, it's your junk. And I think it's working really well. There's a lot of cooperation from the private sector, a lot of funding from the private sector. Mm-hmm. I think we've reached the point now where there's a zero fiscal note and a program still going good. Mm-hmm. You know, we've reached the point, I think, that we'd like to stay at.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, both those comments are definitely true. The state money served as real seed money to develop a lot of interest, and it helped get some of these things going. But, for instance, ALPAR has a tremendous program in Anchorage. And there is a great program in Fairbanks and a lot of other places. And I think the legislature, in many ways, really achieved its intent by funding this for a few years and then let the private sector take it over. So I'd just like to echo those comments.
Mr. Chair, are you ready for motion?
Yeah, I sure am, or we're going to kill it.
All right. I would move
kill it with kindness.
CSHB 59, judiciary, individual recommendations, unanimous consent.
Any objection? No objection. So ordered. And so committee substitute for Senate Bill, or House Bill 59, judiciary, pass the Resource Committee with individual recommendation, no objection, so ordered. We have two actions. This year, we need a motion on this. We sent to circulated this letter to you, but for the record, we better have. So we need a motion. You move that that this letter and the Bennett letter that you all signed be a part of the record. If there's no objection, it's so ordered. All right, we're down to one item that we have left, folks. And that's committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 29. And we have Mr. Baker.
You need to move this stuff on.
Phil Holdsworth. We need to move the CS first.
Senator. I move Senate committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 29 resource.
Ask unanimous consent. No objection is so ordered. And the reason for the committee substitute is we took, the Senate committee substitute, we took Fred Zoroff's, or Senator Zoroff's resolution of the same, and we put two of his items in on top of the House.
Very quickly, Mr. Chairman.
Welcome to our table.
Speaking for myself again, being over about 55 years in Alaska and sport fishing all over the state. This is the most ridiculous proposal by the National Park Service that I've ever seen. And our experience, our Citizens Advisory Commission, in our review of all their conservation management plans and our trying to correct the things that they do beyond the provisions of ANILCA, we don't get too much response from them. And they sure, and I'm glad to see the legislature now putting some pressure on them to not do these kind of things. That's a tremendous, as long as I've been in Alaska, that Brooks sport fishing up there has attracted people from all over the world. And it's just nonsense to close that thing off.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, we had dinner with
Senator Elias.
We had dinner with Bill Horning when he was here a couple of weeks ago, and he specifically said practically the same words you had there. He says, I never realized we could get so much static over something that, you know, that we've done or suggested we do it. He said, I looked at it, he can't even see the damn thing to start with. And here we have a man-made platforms, people standing on in the wilderness area, and they're complaining about a ladder that's been over 40 years, you know. that's thrown into his surroundings. And he says, I'm sure they're going to address it, but this is sure to keep us deep in the fire.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I might add that the Bruce Baker, who was, you'll notice that he signed to answer questions, and when I told him I was going to testify in favor of it, he said, good, somebody will.
Okay.
So that's very important.
Resources, individual recommendations, unanimous consent.
Any objections? No objections, so ordered. I should have had the water turbidity bill on last.
True.
See that.
Ms. Chairman?
Yes?
A quick question. I understand from all concerned that mariculture will probably not move forward this year and perhaps should not. But I just wondered, will there be work done on the interim? Because there are some problems that need to be resolved. And I think that the Mr. Painter's letter that identified some areas, you know,